Welcome to the Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have for us today?
Our storyteller is Maggie May.
The summer between high school and beginning college. At the time, I had a bit of an obsession with tanning and going to the beach, and it was about that time that my stepfather had bought a boat, so I would tag along a lot with him, and we'd go out to the ocean, and in particular, we would go out where the Boca Bay Inlet is, and we'd go out to the ocean and go south to where the Deerfield Beach Pier is. My brother loved to fish, so I wasn't really into fishing, but I would watch them fish and I would tan. And one day I was doing this, it was probably early August. I was out with my stepfather, my little brother and sister, and my sister's friend. And I had noticed it was kind of choppy out, and the boat started getting a lot of water in it. And I had mentioned something to both my stepdad and my brother, and they kind of just brushed it off, like, oh, it happens, it's choppy out. But I noticed it was getting higher and higher until finally I noticed that our boat was about halfway in the water, and the engine, because it was an outboard motor, was getting pretty deep in it. And I had said something to him, and they started freaking out, and they're like, oh no, what are we gonna do? And it got more choppy, and so finally the whole boat was underwater. And luckily, my cell phone was in the little compartment in the front, and I had opened it, and it was the one part of the boat that was above water, and I got my cell phone and dialed 911. And I'm like freaking out, like, the boat's sinking. And it took them actually a good 25 to 30 minutes for the Coast Guard to come out. And at that point, we were probably 3 or 4 miles from shore. And they kept swinging by us, and I guess they didn't see us. And there was some guy, you can call him a Good Samaritan, he came over and he helped us. He stood by the boat to make sure nothing happened to us. I mean, we didn't go into his boat at the time, but we were trying because my sister and her friend were there, and they were little, and they were scared, and they didn't want to go in the water to at least jump over to the other boat. And so finally, we realized that in the compartment, the people who had the boat before us had, like, this gun that you shoot on the boat just in case there's an issue, and the Coast Guard came, and they saved us, and I mean, I guess you would think that was the end of the story, but it actually wasn't, because as we were going inshore, it got choppy, and the Coast Guard's boat started getting water in it, and we were freaking out, but of course they were calm because they were used to this, and we were also closer to shore. And right before you go into the Boca Bay, there's this really rocky area, and it's like extremely choppy, and we were all really, really sick, and just from like motion sickness and everything, and the water just kept going in the boat until finally their boat was about halfway full of water, and we had to take buckets to scoop it out. And so finally we made it into the Boca Inlet, and they brought us to this dock area, and they got us out. And it turns out that their boat had actually suffered a lot of damage. And so they had to wait for another Coast Guard people to come in and everything and look at the boat. And then during that time, we had actually noticed that there was a small, like, bass boat. For some reason, they were using it to go out into the ocean. And they had issues, and their boat flipped over. And the Coast Guard couldn't go out to save them, so we were trying to help them get the other Coast Guard out, and they went out and saved them, and then they came in. And luckily, nothing had happened to our boat and our motor and everything, but the other person, his bass boat, the motor was completely ruined and everything, and he was really upset about it. But my brother, he's a little bit younger than me, and he had told my dad that he hadn't caught a big mahi-mahi fish yet. And he was really sad about it, that there was really no damage to our boat. And my sister and her friend were really shaken up. So we got my mother to come and take them home. And my brother was just adamant on catching the big mahi-mahi. So after we had dried off and, you know, we weren't so shaken up, we went back out. And I wasn't too happy about it, but I somehow got talked into going back out with them, which is very unlike me, because at that point I'd usually be like, nah, I'm leaving. And we stood out there for a little bit, and I forgot to mention that the guy in the bass boat had come with us because he wanted to go catch the mahi-mahi too. And we were like, tell my brother, yeah, because like they're usually very big fish and hard to physically catch. So we kind of figured he'd be the one to get it, and we'd let him reel it in a little bit. But, you know, one of the older people would actually reel it in. So we were out there for a good couple hours, and I was getting nervous because it was getting choppy again, and the water was starting to get into the boat a lot. Until finally, after about 3 hours, he caught his mahi-mahi and reeled it in almost all by himself. He had a little bit of help, but in the end, it started off pretty bad, but it was actually a pretty interesting and fun day.
Maggie May with a story about a boating incident.
And so much more. I kept expecting the story to be over. And certainly when they were rescued and the Coast Guard boat was damaged, I thought that would be the end of the story. But these people just don't quit. And there is definitely something to be said for that. You know, we really get a sense about people from their behavior in extreme situations. And these people kept on going to get that fish.
It sounded like the lesson is don't go out in choppy seas, but that wasn't learned.
Well, I hate to put a lesson on a story. This was just a story of an experience, and everybody has a different interpretation of any story based on their experience. So just like anything else, somebody might see the glass half empty or the glass half full. I just can't imagine going back out after having had that experience, and it just is so amazing that they did.
It didn't sound smart, Karen. Why would you go out again?
I guess because they were saved and everything was fine and they wanted that fish. And some people will do anything to reach their goals. And, you know, there is something to be said for not taking no as an answer. I am so glad that they got the two little children off the boat before they went out again. I think that was a really smart move.
I like how she, the first time the boat was in danger, she said, I guess I'll call him a good Samaritan, the man who came by and took time out from his day to help these people.
Right. And that use of the term good Samaritan, we use it all the time. It is worth remembering that that is a biblical allusion. And if you use a term like that in another culture, they may have no idea what you're talking about. And there is so much language. There are so many colloquialisms that come from stories, and this is one of them, comes from the New Testament. And this is not a biblical story, religious story in any way, but we use that term all the time.
Well, and all Maggie wanted was a tan, but what an adventure it turned out to be.
And I love that she said that right off the bat. It's a beautiful way of saying, that's all I came for, but that's not all I ended up with. If she had said I wanted to get a fish, it would have been a very different story. But the fact that she just wanted a tan and got in the middle of this rather scary situation is terrific. I also loved the bit of foreshadowing when she said, I told them it was getting a little choppy. I told them maybe we should be careful or maybe go back. She says the water was rising and then the boat was all in the water except for the bow. And she really told this in such a way that the whole reason for storytelling, as opposed to just summarizing what happened, is laid out in front of us. In other words, storytelling takes its time. Storytelling says, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, that led to this, that led to this. Whereas somebody else could have sent this in a telegram and said, went out for a tan, boat was in choppy seas, almost drowned, everything's fine, got fish. But in this way, we feel her experience.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a South Florida story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
send me an email to cneile, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Or check out our website for archive stories as well as contact information at wlrn.org. Click on Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Mike. I'll see you next week.
Dr. Karen Neale is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday. Thank you.